It would all be over, and he would not see his friends again, unless it was in the green fields.
"Is that Ivor Breen?"
asked a halfling working on the dock not far away.
"Aye," answered his dwarf companion. "Ivor Breen and his new runt. Pity that Jolie passed in birthing him."
"Aye."
"So, hey, what's that then? Ivor Breen set on killing the waif. Ah, but who could blame him, and the little one's better off anyway."
"Nay, not that,"
the halfling answered, and he paused in his work and moved to the near edge of the dock, watching the scene more closely. His dwarf friend followed, hands on hips, neither harboring any intent to interfere, whether this was indeed infanticide or something else. Regis came out of the water as abruptly as he had been thrust in, his father twirling him up and spinning him around to look him in the eye. The little one sputtered and spat, water flowing out of him as easily as it had gone in. His father, who had just tried to kill him, smiled.
"Not blue," he said with a hoarse laugh. "Aye, so you're your mother's son. By the gods, but luck's with you, ain't it? It's our secret, you know, and you're to make a fine wage."
With that, he tucked Regis under his arm and headed back up the long, long boardwalk, back to the lean-to. The baby's thoughts spun in confusion. What had that been about? To torture him, to terrify him, to make him think he was being drowned, being murdered? But to what end? What possible gain? Regis forced himself to calm down, forced the pulsing questions aside. He hadn't drowned. In truth, he hadn't come close to drowning, and had felt no physical discomfort at all beyond the strong and tight grip of his father's hands. But he had been under the water for a long time. He couldn't keep holding his breath. He couldn't keep his mouth closed, couldn't keep the water away. But he wasn't blue, his father had just told him. And indeed, when he had come up from the water, he hadn't even been gasping for air. Was this all the result of his young age, as if, perhaps, his mind couldn't yet even acknowledge such discomfort? That seemed a possibility, but Regis didn't think it likely. No, more likely. It seemed to him that he hadn't registered any discomfort, because there hadn't been any discomfort. How was that possible? He clutched tightly at his father's raggedy shirt as he considered the mystery. He felt something round and hard in his little hand and gripped it instinctively, and only as they neared their home did he even realize it to be a button. A button held by a single thread, he realized as he worked it around, and as his father moved to set him back down in his crib, he tightened his grip and pulled with all his strength. The button came free, and Regis took care to keep his hand closed over it.
"So you've got the Ganassi blood," his father said,
though Regis had no idea of what that might even mean.
"That'll make you worth keeping, lucky runt, like your ma."
"Aye, but we'll put that gift to work."
He walked away then, out of the lean-to. Regis didn't understand any of this, of course, but he told himself to be patient. The one thing he had now, Mialiki willing, for all of his plans was time. Lots of time, but not time enough to be wasted. 21 years of time, and he would put them to good use. As he had determined when he had walked out of Iruladun, he would waste not a day. He managed to lift his little hand up before his eyes and opened his fingers just enough to see the button. He thought to roll it around his fingers, but an involuntary twitch jerked his arm then, and he nearly lost the item. If it fell free, he would have no way to collect it. Likely a rat would pick it up and scurry off with it. So he squeezed it instead, repeatedly, training his fingers, training his muscles, and slowly maneuvering one finger or another around it a bit, gaining strength, gaining dexterity. He held it tightly when the wet nurse came to feed him. Then he brought his arm down to his side and leaned upon it to secure the button as he slept. Days later, he managed to shift it to his other hand, his left hand. Again he brought it up before his eyes, and then he paused and stared. He noted his thumb and the three fingers beside it, and the stump where his pinky should be. The image jolted the halfling back in time, to the captivity he had endured under Artemis and Treri, when Treri had cut off his finger as a warning to Drizzt.
Had that physical wound carried over to this new body? How could that be? He stared at the stump, and noted then the jagged line of skin and the scab not yet fully healed. No. This was not a carryover of Entreri's cruelty, he realized, but an ironic twist of fate. He recalled the moment of his rebirth, when his mother had died, he now understood, and so the midwife had used a knife to slice her open and get him out. He remembered the sharp and burning pain, and now he understood the source. For a long, long while, the halfling baby lay there, staring at the wound, lost in memories more than in his current hopes and aspirations. He pressed beyond the shock, though, and repeated the exercises, exactly as he had done with the other hand, squeezing and holding, building his strength and his muscle memory. 10 days later, he began to roll the button around his fingers, one hand and then the other, feeling the play as it rolled over one knuckle to be caught between that finger and the next and rolled again. Back and forth, pinky to thumb, thumb to pinky on his right hand, thumb to ring finger to thumb on the left, hand to hand. He could almost feel the connections forming in his little brain and muscles, as indeed they were, so that he became attuned to his fingers and to the subtle muscle movements controlling each. Some time later, he could not guess how many days or even 10 days had passed, his father came for him and took him again to the small beach between the docks. Under the waves he went until the bubbles came forth and the water rushed in. He tried to mentally count the passage of time until he was hoisted out and shaken, only to be thrust back in soon after. "You'll find the deeps," his father said on one lift, then thrust him back under. "Where the oysters rest," his father added on the next lift. "A master diver, as your ma," the dirty and bedraggled halfling declared, and under the waves Regis went once more. This time for longer, much longer. He lost count of his heartbeats, lost all sense of time around him. Only gradually did he feel the need for air, and it was not an urgent sensation as if he were drowning, but more a desire. Many more heartbeats passed before his father lifted him once more. The elder halfling inspected him carefully, then issued a belly laugh, clearly pleased as he declared, "Not blue in the face!" Chapter 6. The Chosen. The Year of the Reborn Hero, 1463 DR, Netheril.